Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, thank you, British lady. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars this evening. Appreciate everybody coming in and listening. This is your fill-in host, substitute teacher, spare tire plan B, if you will, Dave Atwell speaking. Hope everybody's having a wonderful night tonight. Before we pass things on, I would like to just ask everybody for a quick prayer. As a good friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Harold Asbell, passed this Friday, and I will be attending his services this week. Good friend, good man to talk to, and he's with the Lord now and did not suffer, and he's going to be missed. So hoping he's listening up there among the clouds and giving those angels a hard time, which I'm sure he is. Nevertheless, Harold's going to miss you, buddy. Well, with all that
thoughts
being said,
thoughts for Tom with his family and friends, man.
Yeah, man, much obliged. It's funny. I sprayed his house probably about 4 months ago, and me and him were shooting the breeze about passing because his son passed at a young age from an aneurysm, and he, you know, had mentioned that when he goes, he wants to go quick. You know, because his wife and his mom had passed from cancer, and they had, you know, suffered as cancer does. And he says, I just want to go quick. He says, I want to be dead before I hit the ground. And darn near did it. So, yeah. But he's going to be missed. Hell of a good guy in the world, the lesser place without him. So, yeah. Hope everything goes well. And incidentally, that is my brother-in-law's father-in-law, so it is kind of hitting close to home. But, yeah, just prayers for everybody around, and we move on. You know, he's done his part, and it's time to enjoy the next stage, you know. But with all that being said,
Let's tweak that a bit, Dave. The you know, we got a lot of people out there that got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of people being impacted. What you want to do at the moment, you decide. But thoughts, prayers, karma to everybody that has those needs and needs that, you know, power of positive thought. And let's just have a quick moment of silence, please.
Ah, thank you. Very well done, Todd. Well suggested. I appreciate that. And very well said, too. There's a lot going on out there, and folks are having to go through a lot more than what they usually do. And perhaps we're running a little too hard and having a little too many distractions right now to realize the importance of sitting down and just, you know, breathing it in for a little bit. So I appreciate that very much. So with all that being said, Todd, how are you doing this evening, brother?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Just trying to make, you know, keep the nose to grindstone, keep stuff going, try to always remember those little things. Just those little things. And no, Dave, that's not the wife's nickname for me. Remember those little things, and a lot of the big things will take care of themselves. Just saying. And actually, to go back to something you had touched on earlier, I wanted to go with it, but we got into a very serious note there, which is good. You're talking about being the spare tire, and I know periodically I refer to you as Diamond Dave. I don't know. I may start calling you Donut Dave.
I can only go 35 miles an hour. Safely, that is.
Right.
Well done. Outstanding. That is not a fat joke either, boys and girls. So just keep that in mind.
You know, not to let air out of things, but see what I did
Tire jokes. Nice. Tire jokes are good. We'll have to rotate that around. So, speaking of rotation and moving things around.
rotation. I like it. I like it.
Where it's probably
where the rubber meets the road.
Oh, nice. Yes, you got to remember your rubbers. Tim, how's it going up there in the chili section?
Good evening. Well, I'm happy to say that it's March now, and I'm looking forward to it not being the chili season. It's actually, I've not looked at the gauge recently, but I'm going to say still maybe in the upper 50. We were like 60 plus today, so it's coming. There's still going to be some colder days before it gets completely nice out, but I can already tell, man, I'm looking forward to sitting out on the porch again and doing these podcasts out there. That's where it's at right there. But everything's going great here. Looking forward to another amazing show.
Standing. And tonight, just a little broadcast note, we will be doing without the talent of Dr. John this evening, who is out on assignment, taking care of some things. And Granny Hulkster also will not be with us this evening, as she is conducting her travel plans for the Moose Lodge and all the good that they do for the community and everything. So we want her to travel safe, concentrate on what's more important, and we hope she arrives and has a good time at her meetup and everybody remains safe. So
I got to cut you off real quick. When you said out on assignment, I couldn't help but to think of Les Nessman from WKRP in Cincinnati. It's just, it hit me.
That's why we use that one. That's the old catchphrase. Your old list. Good call, though, man. I didn't think you were around for that, for crying out loud, you youngin'. Good golly.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
Cool.
That was a classic. I remember that one. That was
good.
A classic.
So, we have a very special event going on this evening, and that very special event is a new panelist this evening. Since she sniffed the cheese, the jaws of the trap have snapped shut, and she will be joining us this evening. Tim, I need you to do the introduction to this young lady, please.
All right. Well, I don't know how shy she's going to be, but on the line, ladies and gentlemen, we have my lovely, wonderful wife, Kim Armstrong.
Hello!
Good to have you.
I'm glad you're here.
Welcome aboard, Kim. Tim, it's been great having you on the show. I'm going to guess this is the last time.
I told her, I said, you call in, and I know it's going to happen. You're going to get let in, so be prepared. So she had the warning.
Yeah,
you
there
can't
are
say
no
you
rules.
Didn't tell
to
you.
That's right. The only rule is no butt hurt. Outside of that, have free will. It's very good to have you aboard this evening, and you are most welcome at any given time. That is for damn certain. We'll say that ahead of the festivities tonight. So it's good to have you on. Appreciate you joining us. So,
thank you. Good to be here.
Absolutely. And feel free to chime in whenever you're ready. Don't be shy, please. Just go on in there, and we try to run this show as if we're all sitting around the table having a beer and a bowl of pretzels. So there's no there is decorum, but we rarely use it. So please feel free to chime in whenever you're ready. So with the introductions being done, Todd had a fantastic idea tonight for a show topic. So Todd, please fill us in on what you had in mind.
What I wanted to talk about, we have touched the conspiracy theories and even politics or even, you know, I think it goes beyond conspiracy theories here, folks. The politics or, you know, heck, even religious beliefs for that matter, that kind of stuff. Societal, familial, just social impacts with different beliefs, and you know, we'll try to keep it, you know, more along conspiracy theories, but there's, you know, other stuff out there, because there's things that it'll wreck a household. If people recall, we just had a conversation and we were talking on some certain things, and amongst the team members there are people that say we didn't land on the moon. There are people that say we did. You'll notice nobody got yelling and screaming and doing certain things. But, you know, it seems to me I remember somebody going up and challenging Buzz Aldrin on that. And I remember he had a rather immediate and high-impact reaction. He cold-cocked the dude.
Yeah, he jacked him. Yep.
So there's all kinds of reactions. You can have people, like I said, the team, we were talking about something. We weren't all on the same page, and we moved on. That's just kind of the way it is. And then you got other reactions, especially for a guy, depending upon your perspective, whether he did or did not walk on the moon. His reaction was pretty intense. And there's reactions all over in between. So that was just kind of the stuff I wanted to talk about, because I think maybe the fractures in society that we're seeing are kind of what brought it up. That's why I brought it up. What say you guys?
No, sounds excellent, because you're right. I mean, speaking from a family point of view, there have been families where the person who had that mindset, be it, say, you know, a Bigfoot sighting or UFO sighting, or perhaps, well, let's just throw those gentlemen that was flying the plane 2 weeks ago that came up on the, okay. Those guys, you can't tell me those guys went home the same guys they were when they got in the plane that afternoon. Now, these guys are pilots, obviously professional gentlemen, squared away. If they could fly a 747, they're not your average Taco Bell associate. So, you know, these are guys who have uniforms that they have to keep up with. That's the level of responsibility these guys have. There is a level of responsibility, decorum, expectation that is probably higher than a lot of other folks' expectations. So these guys, by and large, are not your average term knucklehead, not disparagingly, but, you know,
I was thinking lunkhead.
Let's just say they're above average. How's that? So, and they've seen this thing. And obviously it wasn't one of those things where it was a lack of rest or one guy saw it and the other three didn't. It was a legitimate sighting. They radioed it in. You know, everything was documented. It wasn't one of these wives' tales or, you know, he was the only one that came near it and everybody else didn't see anything. I mean, it was actual documented contact. These guys, when they landed the plane, tell me that they weren't permanently affected by that. Regardless if they ever see anything again, or even if perhaps somebody comes up with an explanation and says, yeah, somebody, you know, was doing X, Y, and Z, and that's what it was. You cannot tell me that those gentlemen at cockpit, and the flight crew for that matter, have not been permanently affected by that. And, you know, that's just one aspect. And then you've got, you know, family members who go off the deep end and just totally obsess over certain things. And before you know it, they're, you know, neglecting their common family bonding, you know, playing Uno on Tuesday nights and that kind of stuff. Because they're locked in a room, you know, drawing maps on the walls. What was the Richard Dreyfuss Close Encounters? You know, we saw the effect he had on his family, you know, after his encounter with a UFO. So, I mean, it has a large impact on a family, for certain. So, yeah, good point on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff's a trip. And then, we just got word, the Amazing Velvet, he's got a lot going on. He's another one. And he's not going to be able to attend tonight. His plate's too full to be able to jump in here. So, brother, we miss you. Stay safe. Just for the listener's sake there, so they know that he didn't blow everyone out there off, or us. and given Velvet's in-ring character, I didn't really mean that in a different way. The that one was, I really did not intend it that way, but it came out better than I thought. So he said, came out the, I can't even talk now. But no, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, in the household, I think we all have spirited discussions over any given thing, you know, household purchases, stuff like that. Boy, and didn't you get into some of these things again? Some of the conspiracy theory stuff, again, I'll stick a little bit with the moon landing stuff. I don't think any of our naysayers are on the line tonight. That, you know, there are people that, you know, it was a thoughtful, why, a reasoned why not, as opposed to, you know, just a, well, I don't like it, you know, type argument. Let me see, what are some of the stuff that's going on out there? I don't know, I'll use a politics thing. The paying off college people's loans, the loan forgiveness stuff. You hear some interesting arguments in households. You got, I know we have at least two members of the staff, the regular podcast staff, that do battle with college loans in various degrees. There, I just know one friend's household would do this. Dad was a doctor, mom was a nurse. They helped the kids get through college, but only helped. The balance was on them, fully expecting to do that on their own. They did talk to them about what they were getting into. They talked to them about what the degree's in, the practicality of it, because let's face it, some degrees are more practical and can lead to better things. Or let's just say money spent on education, because some people will choose a trade school. The arguments that happen on that with the households, society, I mean, we preach higher education forever. And I don't know. I mean, there's some stuff that's a hot mess there, guys. Somebody bail me out here. It's a hot mess.
I agree with you, and I think some of the, you know, there's the argument there, and take friends like myself, couldn't afford to go to college, so I went into the workforce and worked like mad, and accrued certain bills that come with being a working guy, you know what I mean? You know, there are some things you don't have to spend money on in college that you have to spend money on in the workforce, and take for instance like a mortgage and all that kind of stuff. You know, you need to get a car because there isn't necessarily public transit going back and forth to work when you're working an odd schedule. And for all that, a guy like me doesn't get $50,000 to put forth to paying my mortgage off, so why should a college student get 50 grand to pay off a college loan when that was a choice they made, just like the choice I made to buy the house? So there's that 50-yard line argument on that. But to tell you the
right there, I like where you're going with that, because you're talking about, hey, I got into a house loan, so what loans are going to apply? What bills are going to apply? Why does this person who willingly signed up and got these loans get other taxpayers to pay them out? You know, the other taxpayers that don't have the higher education, for example. What about the loans that the other people have that they're trying to pay off?
Because in the end, it's still a loan, regardless of whether it's for an education or for a house or for a car.
Oh, is it now?
It's still money.
Just saying.
Owed.
I mean, apparently they're different. Just saying.
I'll say this. The only feedback I know of is personally when trying to, or not trying to, but buying a house, I was told by either the loan officer guy or a realtor, or one of the two had mentioned that student loans are looked at differently because it's not like you're just purchasing something. You're not just, it's not, and not that taking a car loan out is careless or anything, but a student loan is looked at when they're trying to crunch the numbers and figure out your credit score and your debt to income. Your student loan debt, because I have quite a bit of it myself, but that's actually looked at a little bit differently. So it's one of those as you're, you know, that's you trying to better yourself, whatever. So, you know, good on you, I guess. I don't really see, I see what Dave's point is, because a loan is a loan is a loan. I mean, it's still something that you got to pay back, right? It's, you know, going to factor into your debt to income. So, you know, but I have been told in my own personal experience to look at differently.
Yeah, what's his name?
But,
started with the J.
If they, let's say you owe $50,000 in college debt and you go to buy a house and they say, hey, it's a college debt, so we're not going to hold it against them. That's really not fair to you, because they're going to give you, they're going to approve a loan for you that doesn't necessarily count in, so
oh, yeah,
speak, for last,
yeah,
better term. You already owe X amount, hundred. You catch what I'm saying? Where they're going to give you a loan, and before you know it, the mortgage loan that I pay, let's say the $700 I pay for a mortgage, they'll give you the same mortgage, and you'll owe $700 a month on a mortgage, but in the meantime, you still owe $700 a month on a college. So for you, it's more of a $1,400. You see what I'm saying? Because they kind of excuse your college as a different type of debt, and that might not be fair to the college debtor. You understand what I'm saying? It kind of puts them, sets them up for a fail, so to speak.
I think I see where you're coming from, and that actually did happen, because I feel like I'm horrible at years. I have no idea how long it's been. I know our economy took a dive, and a lot of people were getting, when like housing, you know, there was a big boom of developments going up left and right, and oh, you can buy a house and pay the, oh, your payment can be this and this and this, and man, they were just giving loans out left and right, and you know, anyone could buy a house. Well, it came crashing down on them, and people were getting foreclosed on left and right because they couldn't make the payments. They painted this pretty picture, and people were getting, you know, foreclosed on. I don't know anybody personally affected. I just know that it made it, you know, they had to. And we're talking, I think this has had to be the same time as all the bailout was going on, but it made it tighter for people a little bit. But you're right. I think that's where you were going with that, and I agree.
Yeah, because, well, Todd will tell you, here in Jacksonville, there are several neighborhoods here in Jacksonville that back in the 90s, when they were floating loans, and be it a military town here, it's an interesting dynamic here because you know, I've often said, being a Marine Corps brat, you know, you always lived out of boxes because you were moving every 3 or 4 years, if not two. And it's interesting to see here how many Marines, and when I use the term Marines, talking your E8s, E7, E8, E9, that are at 20 or close to 20 or over 20, be that the case. I'm talking, you know, E3s, E4s, and in the 90s, I was making about $45,000 a year managing the store that I was managing. And you got to remember, this is back in the 90s, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, God, man, I am making $45,000 a year. How in the hell are these, you know, Lance Corporals getting into these, you know, two-story houses with two garages and an acre of land to go with. How in the hell are they doing it? And, you know, it eventually came out that they were giving these guys loans for $300,000, $400,000 houses, And when they did 4, 8, 12 years with the Corps and said, you know what, I'll throw politics into it, but bear in mind, this is in the Clinton administration when he was reducing the military. And a lot of these guys were getting weren't getting reenlisted because of bad checks or, you know, marital issues or misconduct or things that in the past had been looked by. So now all of a sudden, they're out in the civilian sector with a, you know, $1,200, $1,400 house payment, and I'm hiring them for $7 an hour, which was decent money back in 1993, 94, 95. But nevertheless, it damn sure wasn't enough to cover a $1,400 mortgage. And now a lot of these neighborhoods that they put up are now run down. And already the houses are all, you know, just disarray in bad shape and everything. And these were houses that I envied 25 years ago, going, damn, you know, I wish I could move in one of those houses. And now they're in bad shape because the people that were given the loans, you know, just couldn't keep up with it. But the bad thing about a mortgage loan is there's something magical about a mortgage. You know, you and the wife are out looking at houses, and mama walks into a house and she goes, oh God, I love this kitchen. I love this. I love that. Oh, look, the birds in the backyard. And oh, I love that tree. And all of a sudden it becomes a fairy tale purchase. And now you're up to your neck. You know what I mean? You know, in a mortgage loan. Now, going back to the college thing, though, this is something I like to throw out there for the college debt, is that college debt was really, really never spoken. Because I know, with me being 50, the whole thing was you go to high school, you go to college. If you don't go to college, you go into the Marine Corps. The talk about going into the civilian workforce wasn't even mentioned. And reason being is you had people that said, okay, I want to be an oceanographer when I grow up. And this guy over here says, well, I want to be an oceanographer too. The guy over there says, you know what? I like that too. That's what I want to be. So there's 15 guys from the graduating class that all go to a school for oceanography. Well, back in the 80s, there were 15 positions for oceanographers, and when they graduated, they went instantly into rubbing on octopus because the jobs were there. Well, then in the 90s, the Waltons, I blame a lot on the Waltons.
Hold on. I got to do this. So they went from being in schools to working with schools of fish.
Ooh, nice. That's very good. The damn jokes, dad jokes are rolling tonight, cuz. It's deadly. Absolutely deadly. But what's happened is a lot of these, because what happens in plain English is if you run up, say, $100,000 college debt to obtain a job that pays 100 grand a year, the college debt isn't so much an issue because you get in return what you put in, so to speak. The problem is somewhere down the line when they started downsizing everything and making everything part-time or getting, you know, giving one guy five heads worth of work or playing the other side of the ticket, they started trimming the fat. There's not so many jobs out there where you just sit there and lollygag all damn day. And they started cutting it back. So those 15 guys that spent 100 grand in college to become oceanographers are now all fighting for one oceanography job. Okay. So only one of them win. The other 14 guys have to start managing subways because you've got to do something. You can't just stand there on a pile of bricks and scream, I have a degree in oceanography. God damn it. You have to continue moving. And if there's no jobs open for an oceanographer, then you've got to go do something with yourself. And unfortunately, the demand of having this college debt meant they had to get their ass to work. And before you know it, they're managing a Subway, or they're managing a grocery store, or they're managing a mall store. And before you know it, they're on a salary, and they're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, because that's how it was in the 90s. And before you know it, you know, the thought of diving in the ocean and studying starfish is the furthest from your mind, because you're so asshole deep in college debt that you can't look back. And I think that's where a lot of this, because college debt was never spoken when I was in high school. It was never a topic. It was just part of the advancement, if you understand my meaning. It was just, it's kind of like having a kid and bitching about buying diapers. You just kind of know it's coming. And that's how college was. You just knew that the debt was there, but when you graduated college, you would have a job that would accommodate that debt. But when they downsized everything, it caused the choke point. And let's face it, you know, and even if you're an oceanographer, the money you make doing that will cover your basic living expense. Whereas the guy who got squeezed and had to go manage a Subway, now he has to pay a light bill, a water bill, a mortgage, a car payment, insurance, all, you know, all that crap, along with that six-figure loan that he's not using, or that six-figure loan for an education that he's got no use out of. So there's my argument on college debt. I think if the jobs were there, college debt would not be a discussion.
All right. Well, there's a couple parts here I want to run with. A handful of things. I want to talk about the cause of college debt, the practicality of degrees that are picked, forward looking at we know how jobs are changing and all this stuff. I referenced trade school back way earlier. Let's face it, at an auto plant, just to use this as an example, used to be a lot of veterans with no particular skills before there were a lot of GI bills and stuff like that. They would go work at GM or whatever, pick up tool and die as a trade for making the parts. They would go work at a plant where they were on the assembly line. Well, there ain't so many spots on the assembly line anymore with automation, you know, that kind of stuff going on. There's a lot of things, and I wanted to touch on what you talked about, the whole Subway manager thing. That used to be there was the whole, let's say, service industry in general. That was more of a trade that people grew up in, if you would. Manage, you know, people became supervisors, assistant managers. Eventually, they might go somewhere and get their own store and things like that. And what you were talking about, there was this guy with this degree out there. He's a monkey wrench in that process. So these people had these degrees that had no experience in that would somehow get in there and manage that, where it used to be that was something that they relied on people and their experience and their knowledge within those fields, but they wanted that person with the college degree. And that was just sort of the, you know, part of the job market and all that stuff. So that was another impact on the economy. We really went way off on a tangent, but it's actually pretty good discussion, guys. As far as the total college debt, I don't hear anybody talking about, well, why the hell is this college education costing so much now? Why has it gone up from what it was to what it is? Pretty much exponentially.
There's been a few.
I don't hear anybody addressing that issue.
there's been a few times in the school where I got my degree. I don't know if I should name them or not. I know several years ago they were in the middle of a lawsuit, I believe, and might have even had to do with taking advantage of the GI Bill. But it's been on the news every once in a while. You'll hear something about the extremely high cost. And I'll tell you what, I was one of those that I didn't really know what I wanted to do in life till later on down the road. I worked in a restaurant till my mid to late 20s. Tried to do the firefighter route, EMS, whatever. Kept trying and trying, and I didn't, I didn't make the cut overall. So I decided to go back to school, and at that time I was already on my own, had my own house. So, you know, I'm working full time. So I had to take night classes, and at that point there's probably more options as time goes now, but it seemed like the options there are limited, and you have to go to one of those schools that caters to adults and do a night classes and that accelerated courses. Well, those schools tend to be on the pricey side. I was having to, and you know, I had to do the whole fill out the FAFSA, see what I could kind of government grants I could get, you know, any kind of assistance I could get, I was willing to take. But it was so expensive, I was still having to, there were a couple times where I had to come out with quite a bit of change just so I could sign up for the next semester courses. And it's just amazes me because I still have the student loan debt that I've got. But those schools that cater to that, they're super expensive. But like I said, I think that it has made a little bit of publicity. I've seen a couple of those schools get into a little bit of trouble, and it is an issue. It's a big concern. You know, there's not everyone has that lump sum of money that they're able to save aside to help their kids go to school, you know, and if you don't have that, I know there's scholarships, grants, and different programs now, but it's still not everyone is going to fit into that, and it sets them up for huge loans when they graduate.
Right.
And
but
too
again,
many people.
The root cause is why? Why? These training and these costs and stuff are just stinking outrageous, and you still hear students saying, well, they don't give us enough at the school cafeteria, blah 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 blah, we're paying these outrageous sums. You hear that. So where's that money stinking going? Why is it costing so much? And it's I you know, you're right, it blips now and again, but it never gets traction. Would you say it's ever gotten traction, Tim?
I just, you know, and maybe whenever I hear it on the news, it seems more of a big deal to me. You know, my ears perk up because I kind of fall in that category where, I feel like you. But you're right. I mean, I don't hear about it a lot. You know, I mean, it's come up, but I don't hear about it a lot.
You sure don't hear congressional hearings on it.
Yeah.
You know, and if they have, it's just not enough. It's, again, it's one of those things that comes and goes, hey, we're going to, yeah, whatever. You know, they get on to something else. So there's something there. The student loans in the household. Okay, well, Tim, let me look. Well, you know what? We're going to drag Kim in here. Kim, how's your family? A lot of you have a college education?
No. Not my sisters do. I went to college, but my parents didn't, and my brothers didn't. I have cousins that do.
Okay. I just want to kind of, you're a fresh background for us to drag into this, so that's, I'm dragging you into it. Real quick to kind of give the background, like, I got one brother that's got various trade school things. I've got odds and ends college. My mom took courses later in life, and this was after going to a specialty woman's education facility when she was younger, and I think it was actually out of state. I can't remember exactly where it was, that kind of stuff. But, you know, my dad was, you know, a vet and went into the police department, that kind of stuff. That stuff. So, you know, heck, neither my dad, no, my dad did graduate high school. His brother didn't. Just as an example on that side, my mom was an only child. She did graduate high school. Hell, I was the first one to actually get a high school diploma. One of my brothers, my two older brothers had GEDs. And one of them actually got the GED after I graduated. That was my oldest brother. So there were not a lot of the college background on my side. Just so I was really struggling to prepare and stuff for my kids. So where I'm going to drag Kim here and Tim in on this side, you guys got kids. You guys have seen this. It affects you directly. You've been to college. Tim, you got, I know the degree. I know what you do for a living. The Kim, all I know is that you do get to come home for lunch periodically, at least. And just for the record, for the listeners, Kim is one of the folks that's gone through the COVID. We're glad you made it, and you somehow managed, you know, not to kill Tim while you were going through it. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Right.
So, what are you guys thinking for the kids?
Scholarships.
Yeah, our son went to IU, and thankfully he got a lot of help and scholarships. I don't know what we're going to do about the youngest two. We need to start saving now, I think, honey.
You're here. Scholarships.
Well, you know what that means, Tim. You ain't upgrading the hot tub, I'm just saying.
Well, luckily we've got, I don't know how much it'll provide, but our daughter does equestrian stuff, and she's proven to be pretty good at it. And keep hearing that offers scholarships. Just, you know, it's something that we're hoping will be a little bit more of a cushion if she continues down that path, but she seems to be obsessed with horses right now. So that's one.
Okay. You're not horsing around about the scholarships, are you? Because I would be a naysayer for that.
Who's got the drum set?
Damn.
God, I'm going to buy you. You know, I had a coworker when I was back in programming. I had a coworker who sat catty-corner to me, and he had a tabletop drum set just for when he said stupid jokes, and you need one of those. And when we're back in the office, I'm going to get you one.
No, you need to save the money for the your kid's education, just saying. And just for the record, Kim, he pretty much deals with this day in, day out, all along. He just does. You got to hear our meetings. They kind of interesting. Our meetings sometimes aren't too different than a stinking podcast.
I was going to say, you got to keep it lively somehow.
But so, okay, so you guys, you know, you're working with the kids and grades, you're looking at the equestrian stuff, or maybe going forward trying to find a niche scholarship with that. There's I know she competes and stuff like that periodically, and I know sometimes that stuff, well, let's face it, there's the various rodeo level stuff that gets national stuff, you know, the whole cutting ponies and stuff like that, doing all that kind of craziness, that gets amazing. I'm going to try to get us back out of college, and I'm going to try to slide over to some of the conspiracy theory stuff. We've touched on the moon landings. Let's do this. And we don't necessarily have to talk about what, because we know even politics affect our households. We know household purchases affect our households, all that little stuff, the whole, just talk about where we want to go for dinner any given night. Good grief. Hey, honey, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. Oh, gads, don't start that again. The there's a whole, and just for the record, I'm a big fan of, I know places she really don't like, so I will always name that, and that usually encourages a volunteer option, that kind of stuff.
Brutal.
What is, who here, anybody have something in their house that just drives them, let's avoid, see if we can avoid what the subjects are and stuff like that. We don't necessarily want to air everything out there. Because you'd be surprised, not everybody in the household. My wife grew up where gun ownership isn't a big deal. And she's kind of adjusted a little bit, mostly because she's kind of been, she's had it around her long enough. But she's, you know, she still wouldn't be like, she wouldn't actively, I think, seek out, say, a concealed or open carry type thing, right? Even though we see a lot of it. But she wouldn't necessarily freak out if a family member had it, you know? She wouldn't necessarily say, hey, do I get a firearm that's going to be my own? She don't necessarily encourage us to look for them. But she won't, you know, as long as there's not too much money involved, she won't necessarily tell us for not having one. So that's something why it's not as painful as it could be within a household. In our case, it happens to be, say, weapon ownership. What's something that somebody's got going on without necessarily bringing up? Anybody have anything that's got, like, family members going bonkers?
So I guess we're not doing conspiracy theories right now.
You can do conspiracy theories, politics, whatever you want, brother. You don't necessarily have to say what it is. I just brought mine in there to say what it was, just to give an example. I got, I got a brother that thinks the fact that I'm pro Bigfoot, that I'm bonkers. And yet, he's seen things and talk about different things. I'm like, really? And you think I'm crazy? Just laugh about it. Yeah, but if you want to go conspiracy theory, do that. Like I said, you didn't necessarily have to name it.
I was going off. I think I was trying to make a left turn and you took a right. So I don't want to derail where your thought was. I was just trying to come back to.
I am wide freaking open at this point, because I was just going to try to get us back to generally conspiracy theories, but somehow I fell right back into politics.
Right. Leaving the household, you know, Dave, unless Dave wants to jump in and complete, you know, your question, if he's got any input, then you can shut me up, because I was literally going to take a complete 90-degree or 180 here on it. But when you were talking about conspiracy theories, and I was just, you know, I try to wrap – a lot of times when we talk about stuff, I try to wrap it up into current events or just things that – kind of like an evolution type deal. And I think it tied into a lot of the stuff that you were talking about at first. And as we're talking, you know, about different topics, I still had that in the back of my head. And so just kind of thinking out loud, it's like if you think of, again, the evolution of some conspiracy theories that are out there, you know, like you said, you've always got the things like people were like, we didn't really land on the moon. Oh, yes, we did. You know, that's never going to go anywhere. You even had, and I don't really know what kind of nut job started this one, but you had post 9/11 conspiracies that, you know, we bombed like we were responsible for it. It was all an inside job. And there were conspiracies that it was really a missile that went into the Pentagon. It wasn't really an airplane. You know, there's all kinds of different things about that. So you have that. There were documentaries. And that was the big thing I can really remember, is where you have a conspiracy, it used to be you would have a documentary. So that's what people had to go off of. And maybe, you know, of course, there's online stuff. Well, now, when I put evolution, when I throw the word evolution into it, you fast forward to now, and like you said, politics. And again, I'm not going to stay here any sides or proclaim which side of the fence I'm on here. But I'll put it this way, and it really ties into what you're talking about, because you said households divided and such, and something that I just saw on the news last week was, and I'd heard a little bit of chatter about it, but this was the first time that I saw it publicly on television, was they had brought up this, I don't know how it's really pronounced, either QAnon or QAnon or something like that.
Yeah.
And how to, you know, it was talking about households being divided because people are so far into this conspiracy. And, you know, to me, it's like nowadays it's all about social media. And it doesn't take a very large group of people to come up with some of this stuff. And the way that they can, they just know how to get people to, you know, to sink, you know, hook, line, sinker, and then it just spreads. And it's like they're saying, there's people, I mean, some of it you could think, okay, that's not too far off the mark. You know, I could see that. But then other things that they talk about with that particular theory, there's just so many things out there that I had heard that tie to it that are just so far out there. But, you know, the channels that they're using these days, social media, and they're dragging politics into it and, you know, using that to help weigh people's decision as to what, you know, is really going on, just to feed and build up their political belief. It's so wild. And in fact, today I was on my, don't tell on me, I was on my way home and I happened to stop in for like 5 minutes. I knew I was already going to have to take more leave than what I thought. Had a dental appointment. So I had taken some leave and I was on my way home and I saw the shop that has just odds and ends or whatever. This guy kind of has his own little discount store. And I walked in there, he's a chatterbox. And for whatever reason, somehow the QAnon thing came out of his mouth. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's another time that I've heard that. I said, that was just on the news. And finally I was like, I gotta go, man. I'm technically on work time and I gotta take more leave now. And, you know, I bounced out of there, but I thought, man, because of social media, the way it works and you know, websites, whatever, people can throw stuff out there. And especially when there's a political agenda, it's like, you just think of, and I don't know if that was necessarily tied to all this Capitol Hill stuff. I know that you got left accusing the right of doing all this and that, and the right accusing the left. But it's just, man, the way things get channeled out these days, it's scary. It's really scary.
There we go. Because one of the things I want to talk about that you referenced, that neat little bow that is with on certain things. Let's face it, there's certain kind of, like, you use Saul Alinsky's publication to help drive your cause and stuff. You make the accusations, you target individuals, vice subjects and stuff like that, or vice institutions, if you will, and different little things. But there's usually, how do I want to say it? Not every conspiracy theory strictly has an agenda, right? But a lot of them are, and I think you really grabbed on this, are very agenda driven today. A lot of the newer ones. And again, I think that's pretty divisive in society, and I think we see it around us in different ways. You got I'm one that I'll tell you, I hope I'm wrong, but I really fear the whole reason that they're not teaching cursive anymore is so that our kids will never be able to read, and then future generations will never be able to read the Constitution as it was written. They'll only be able to read typewritten interpretations of it. You know what I'm saying?
It's like a digital clock. If you have nothing but digital clocks, eventually you learn how to, you forget how to read time.
Oh, by the way, guess what they're not teaching in school? And actually, if you want to know how simple it is to teach a kid to read time, I remember trying to help the kids. If anybody remembers the comedian Dave Allen, go out there, do a search on your favorite video search engine or any search engine. Dave Allen, Telling Time. He was telling a story about how to tell his kid how to read a clock / watch. And he was like, the first hand is a, what do you say? First hand is the hour hand, the second hand is a minute hand, and the third hand is a second hand. Wait, what? And you stop and you think about it. Yeah, trying to teach somebody to read a clock can be that complicated. First hand's the hour hand, second hand's a minute hand, and the third hand is the second hand. Wait, yeah. What? It's a great bit.
Who's on first? Really great bit.
It's outstanding, but yeah, there's a whole, yeah, schools have definitely stopped teaching how to, schools, in fact, many schools have taken out ye old non-digital clocks.
Yeah, when it comes down to the conspiracy theories and politics, you know, it's an ever turning wheel, to be honest with you, because if we were all to jump in the time machine and go back to the 70s, there were still people carrying on about the Kennedy assassination. A whole hell of a lot more of them were carrying on about Kennedy assassination than what they are now. Why?
Right.
Because that was a fresh topic. That was
true.
Something that was, on hand, something that was new. The part of the reason why that it's not carried on the way it used to be is simply because the people who experienced it are passing on. And
well,
there is that.
There's been a lot of other things since then, although that is, boy, when that comes up, that still holds some energy.
Yeah.
That holds energy. I'm just going to say it has energy.
Well, there were so many damn variables with that. And to kind of drive home what I'm getting at is, take, for instance, like Bigfoot sightings. And not taking anything away from anybody that's made sweet love to a Bigfoot. But
dude, you know, I had my event. I'm just going to leave it there.
But, you know, a lot of people, especially these days, one thing I have said about encounters like that is that back in the day, when I say back in the day, I'm talking 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you had encounters, and be it, you know, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, whatever. And there was always that, hey, dude, you get a pic? Well, nah, man, I didn't have a camera and glove box. Okay? And I'll be one of the first ones to admit.
First off, dude, I know where you're going with this. I know we got the different, we got the thing we're talking on in our hand probably has a camera in it. But I'll tell you right now, I've seen certain things that I just couldn't make out and was at least somewhat fascinated by it in that. Before I ever thought about grabbing a thing and taking a picture or doing a quick video, I had an owl in the tree, just in the tree line across from me, and we're talking, I don't know, that's 40 yards, if that. And I was all excited because the other night, all the different owls, like, you know, they're back here, they're getting ready, soon they'll be building nests, all that kind of stuff. Well, this one was making the craziest damn calls I ever heard from an owl. It was pseudo-roosterish from it, and it was making so much noise and stuff, and I was so fascinated by it that I was like, son of a bitch, I got my damn cell right with me. Why am I not taking photos? So I'm going to go with that for the people that aren't taking photos, just throwing it out there.
Right. Now, And to that point, though, and that's an excellent point. That is right up the alley of what I'm getting at, is that, you know, when you have an experience like that, it is an isolated thing. It was you and whatever in the hell it was making that noise. So regardless of whether you had photo or not photo, there's that, you know, Tim and Dave and Kim off to the side going, damn, you think Todd, you know, bumped his head this morning? But when it comes down to things like the Kennedy assassination, there were so many variables in there. You know, the trajectory, that's a hard word to say on your third beer.
Here, go with this. Angle.
Angle. Very good. The angle of the shot. Dave, I appreciate that.
And yes, people, we know they're different. Just saying.
Yes, we realize that. It's just three beers in. It's a little tough to get those out. We'll go with angle for the meantime because it's easier to say until I get to maybe like my 10th beer, and then angle would be even tough. But, you know,
the angle with the curve, damn it.
You had the whole J. Edgar Hoover. It was noted that he hated the Kennedys. It was noted that he was also a gentleman who did not care for women, did not care for womenizers. He was also a sketchy character in his own right. You had Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a very, very sketchy character, who had his own personal agenda. Between the war in Vietnam and Cuba and everything else, because he wanted to go to Vietnam. He didn't want to go to Cuba. And, you know, Kennedy was sticking his hands in Cuba. So, you know, you got to wonder. And then there was the whole Marilyn Monroe issue, you know, where, you know, and it's been documented with her, where, you know, they say she overdosed. Well, it was odd. The pills that were in her stomach were undigested, and there was no vessels of water at all in the room. So there are some of us who can choke down a fistful of Tylenol without water, just because, you know, the little gel caps they're making now versus like an aspirin that's real chalky. But by and large, when you take pills, you need something to wash it down with. There were no vessels of drink. There was no alcohol. There was no Kool-Aid. There was no Capri Suns in there. She didn't have her little sippy box. But she had all these and they were undigested pills.
I want to throw something in on Kennedy. One of the common things amongst all of the presidential assassinations was Kennedy. He was another one that was arguing against the way we have the Fed to operate, to handle our banking. Just saying, that's a common thread against every president that was ever assassinated.
And if you,
it wasn't always the Fed, I know that, just saying, but yeah, just throwing it out there.
And see, that's more of a believable conspiracy anyway,
right,
if you ask.
And that's where conspiracies kind of take a turn politically to a certain extent, because, you know, there's so many variables in there that you could see where somebody would say, hey, he did it because of X, or he did it because of Y. So that's why conspiracy theories like the Kennedy assassination seem to have teeth. And, you know, truth be told, sometimes it doesn't even have to do another one that I like to throw out there from time to time that isn't even really considered a conspiracy, but to me it kind of is the legacy of Davy Crockett. For all of us that, you know, are 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, we grew up with John Wayne, Bess Parker, Davy Crockett, the guy who fought to the last in the Alamo. You know, we all seen him with his, you know, coonskin cap on, and he ran out of bullets, and he was beating Santa Ana's men with the, you know, butt of his rifle until the last, you know, until he fell. He fell as a hero. Well, you know, it was about 20, 25 years ago, there was some documentation of some type or another that he was actually captured and executed and bayoneted, you know. So, you know, what does that do?
Oh, heck, I thought you were going to go with what kind of flawed human being he was. Okay. Well,
of course, if you watch Bill,
but
if you watch Bill Busy, Davey, those are a little tough, and they're a little embellished. You know what I mean? Now that you watch them, back when I was a kid watching the old Davy Crockett with Fess Parker, I thought it was the greatest thing on the earth, and now I watch it.
That was Daniel Boone, by the way. That was Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone was a big man.
Yeah, but I mean, Fess Parker played Davy Crockett, too, in the Disney thing, if I remember right.
Oh, probably.
Now, you remember, you know, the John Wayne, Davy Crockett, and everything. Now, in the event that this account was true, that he was captured, suddenly it diminishes the lore. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes, if it challenges the popular thought, how's that? A lot of times it's not accepted.
There we go.
You know, don't want to believe it. The Curt Schilling and the Bloody Sock thing. You know, the city of Boston got its first World Series in 100 years, and the bloody thing goes down in history. There's a lot of people who think that was bull. That was nothing more than a ketchup stain on a sock just to fire up the team. You know what I mean? But if you were to say that in Boston, you probably wouldn't make it out alive because it's the popular lore. It's the accepted lore.
There we go. That's a good thing there. The lore. See, God, we can go so far with this. The whole thing, we know that lore and myth and stuff, and this is something Tim touched on that I kind of want to bring back. A lot of that has that grain of truth in it. Like, they still talk about, like, Atlantis is a great concept. Well, you know, a lot of people thought the whole thing about Troy, maybe the story, the way it was written, didn't exactly happen. But we know Troy was a real place that was burnt to the ground because they friggin' found it. Some of the treasure that was found at the place was planted, because we know that place was looted to a fairly well when it happened. We know Troy now is a real place, and that was lore and myth and legend.
Yeah.
But now it's reality.
If you take just, these guys just saying, and O'Donnell, the Lagina brothers that are doing that money pit exploration up in Nova Scotia right now, you really stop and you take all the ooh and ah out of it. That all of us have when we watch that. We watch that show and keep hoping every damn episode that they find something significant. And at 10 o'clock, we all go, ah, shit, it's another hour, we'll get back. But you keep hoping that they find something. I personally think that perhaps, and we've spoken about it on the show before, that in the event that they do find anything of significance, we will never find out about it. And right now, if you look at some of the stuff that they're showing and some of the stuff that they're finding, in a way, they're rewriting North American history, because it was up until probably about 25, 30 years ago that Leif Erikson actually became a relatively prominent name when it comes down to exploration. And it's been said, and if you look at a globe, it's doable, where he land hopped Scandinavia.
We know they have the things there, and I remember them talking about it back in the 70s. But, they've got the stuff there. And what I want to talk with the myth and lore, is a lot of that stuff has a grain of truth. And this is what Tim had touched on with some of the conspiracy theories. Some of the stuff touches with that grain of truth, and it starts here. Again, I'll kind of use Troy here. We don't know how the gig went down. Exactly. You know, we know how the story was told, but we don't know how the gig really went down. We did find the place burnt to the frickin' ground. Well, that jives with the story. But everything in between, you know, how much is true, how much is not. And again, that clearly started with a minimum of one grain of truth. Throwing it out there.
History is written by the winners. And, you know, take for instance Hitler. Hitler is kind of like a focal point of evil. To be honest with you, if you really dig down deep and do your reading instead of just believing everything that somebody puts on Facebook, you'll find that Joseph Stalin was 10 times the killer that Hitler ever could have aspired to be.
He didn't quite get 10 times the numbers, but he had some outrageous numbers for everybody that loves that socialism. The numbers of the people and stuff that they killed, yeah.
The reason why Stalin is never taught in school to be the height of evil like Hitler is because Stalin was part of the Allied forces in World War II. And we can't say that we were fighting along with a guy that was just as bad as Hitler. We can't say that because it goes against the lore.
Oh, God. So, see, that guy, there was definitely some white water there.
Could you imagine if that Oak Island thing, if they were to find anything, and I'm not even going to get into the religious artifacts, but they're finding stuff from 12, 1300. They're finding something that's Templar. They're finding something. They're finding things that are European that aren't regionally sound. They're not French. They're not English. You know, they're finding things there that are buried, hit and miss, that are totally, totally off the charts of what we were taught in school about Christopher Columbus with the, you know, three ships and the whole nine yards. So they hit a certain snag, or they hit a certain point where they keep finding these things. When does the government or society or anything else come into play and says, okay, we got to stop talking about this because it's rocking the boat. This is creating, you're sticking your finger in somebody's mashed potatoes.
Let me throw this out there, because there's a whole, we want to start history here because of certain events. Won't name the project. And they're right, some of that stuff happened, but they're really wrong about certain things. So, again, some of the negatives go in there, but you're right, governments step in and they do things. They absolutely do things. Whether you want to believe about that cave that was found in the Grand Canyon, as with all the various treasures that included, there were references to Asian things. By the way, I think there's some ancient Chinese maps, like really old maps, that show the West Coast, North and South America, North, Central, South America. Just saying. That document didn't just happen to show up. Talk about rewriting history. I would like to believe in the Kensington Runestone, but it seems too many odds and ends, haphazard pieces. But there's a lot of other documentation. Absolutely. We know the Vikings were here. And there's evidence that the Templars were here, for sure. Who knows what else in between, you know, had happened. There is some stuff. And who wants to rewrite what? And you talk about some of the things, some states don't recognize Columbus Day. Just a thought.
Well, something I've joked about in the past is, and let me go ahead and preface this and say, I am a Christian and I do believe in a higher power and I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. So when I say this, don't take this as a knock on the Lord by any stretch of imagination. But could you imagine being that guy, the first guy who found a dinosaur bone and had to explain that to the heavily Anglo-Christian thesis, you know, that these giant lizards walked the earth at one time? And it's one of those things where you're kind of going, you know, should I say something about this or should I just keep my mouth shut? I mean, the bone's right here.
There is some of that.
I'm looking at 18-foot beaver bone, and I can't deny it, you know.
You got to believe that the, what the hell was it called when they were doing all the purges? That stuff was still fairly fresh in their mind at that point. From
right.
The church, the...
Protestant rebellion, or there was something, Protestant, God damn it. My
Protestant reform was that part, but what I was thinking about was when the church was doing all the, it was basically a witch hunt from hell. They were beating the snot out of all the scientists. They didn't like, you know, the whole, they still liked the Ptolemy stuff where the earth was the center of the universe and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Copernicus was, he was high in the crosshairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Copernicus was high in the crosshairs.
Like Da Vinci. The only saving grace that Da Vinci had was the time that he lived. He lived in a period of time where it was expected to wonder. You know what I mean? It was accepted to think. It was accepted to express, you know, what Michelangelo painted could have been considered as heresy in other periods of time. So sometimes it's more about the time than it is the actual theory. You know what I mean? So
right.
Yeah, you know what's bad is that we're 10 minutes out.
I told you, dude, we can do a ton on this. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. I was like, oh, my God, I only got Kim to chime in once, and it was briefly. Tim has barely chimed in. It's been us two babbling.
Kim is getting broken into the business tonight, so now that she's part of the crew, she knows what to come in with. I predict that young lady.
Oh, look, another Equestrian reference. Broken in.
Ah, very good.
We'll call her Bronco Kim.
And she'll be back here next week and school all of our asses. You watch. I have no doubt.
And I've already gotten notification here. She, I believe, last I heard where she was drifting off, she couldn't keep her eyes open. I was impressed that she stayed up just to chime in initially. So I knew we would lose her. No one is to take it personally. That's me saying that because this is past her bedtime, so to speak. So I think we've lost her for the night. But
way to keep our audience riveted.
She is always welcome back, and more than welcome back, because it's always good, and Todd alluded to it earlier, to have a fresh opinion. To throw into the suit. So, it'd be good to have her back. And
please, because she's going to have some friggin' great stories on Tim that even I don't know yet.
Can't wait.
I think Tim's saying, I can't wait was his way of saying, you rat bastard.
The can of worms is open. But, yeah, we'd be more than happy to have Kim back. And, yeah, open forum. You know, she's always welcome to come back and always welcome to add to the conversation. And
well, she'll be glad to hear that, and I'll definitely pass the word.
Yeah, outstanding. And tonight was a runaway train. I'll be damned. Normally, I'm one of these ones that, you know, when we're doing the show, I keep pecking my phone and looking at the time. I honestly looked at my phone just here 2 minutes ago for the first time, and I was like, damn, we're 10 minutes out. So,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, first time I looked at the clock, I was like, we already burnt through 40-some minutes. How'd that happen?
Well done, though. Well, and like you said, this is another one we need to pick back up on. And maybe quite possibly we'll just pick right back up on this next week and run with it, because it does. It does have a lot to, you know, it does have a lot of credence to it, because let's say you are that guy who has the proof in any direction. Let's say you're the guy who finds that smoking gun. And what do you, I mean, we've all watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the last 5 minutes is probably the most heartbreaking of the whole movie, when he's out there on the steps of the courthouse, and, you know, that guy, that bureaucrat says, we've got our top man on it. And then he's like, well, it belongs in a museum. I said we have our top men on it. And you see Indy just kind of stomping his way down the steps outside, shaking his head. And the next scene is the guy with the damn crate shoving it into a dimly lit warehouse.
The Warehouse 13, if you will, which was a kind of fun series. There are some big examples of that. That cave in the Grand Canyon, the Minnesota giant skeletons that they found, all that stuff. There's a ton of these little things that went to the Smithsonian and disappeared. Just saying.
Yeah.
But we're sitting here, and we have to try to do the wrap up, and God, I got a million things in the head. This is another one of those ones that, yeah, we got up. And just for the listeners, not going to promise next week, but this is one we can definitely come back to. Just saying, for the team too. Oh my God, we can come back to this.
Yeah, because you got to wonder. I mean, if you are that guy that comes up with that thing, and and I'll throw a hypothetical out here. Let's say Bigfoot himself walks right on out of the woods while we're doing the show, and walks right on up here to the deck and says, hey, what kind of cigar are you burning tonight? And I say, oh, 10th anniversary Perdomo. Well, they got them over there, Godfathers. They're fantastic. Ain't but about an $8 stick. And then
way to slide in the plug.
You like that, huh? I says,
yeah, good one.
Holy smokes, I just talked to Bigfoot, and he's an avid cigar smoker. Ain't no goddamn buddy going to believe me. So do I keep it to myself, or do I take a selfie with the damn thing and try to get somebody to believe me? So there is a certain degree of pressure and bravado that comes with even remotely saying, hey, I saw this shit. You know, because I can tell you,
see, this is a whole other conversation is, do you divulge, and the whole other part is even if you see something, do you believe it or not? Because there's things I know, there's still mysteries here on the earth, in space, everywhere, that we don't know trash on. What is it, the Drake equation or whatever for life in the solar system and all that kind of stuff? There's just so much stuff we don't know. I think everybody decided at a certain point, oh, everything on the Loch Ness is garbage. Because that one dude said, yep, that photo I took was with a little wood carved thing that I laid out on the water. If you know anything about history, you know about the stories in somewhere in the 6th century, there was a priest that was there in the area, had, after he came across a wake, funeral, something for somebody that had been killed by the beast of the Loch, and this was in the 6th century, he sent somebody out there on the water. The beast came at him. He did some sort of blessing and kind of got the beast to quit chasing people and stuff like that. Dude, that story about the Loch Ness goes back centuries.
Yeah.
Way before that dude posed his photo. Way before. So that wasn't, that photo may have created a new consciousness, but that story was out there. And again, most stories have a grain of truth, just throwing it out there.
And somebody along the line had to have believed, and when I say somebody, I should say somebody's, had to have believed that for that story to linger for 1,400 years, because otherwise, had it been the 99%, they'd have said, don't talk about it anymore. And eventually the story would have gone away.
I got news for you. You just said 14. I'm going to tell you it's closer to 16. That's how crazy it is.
Got to have some type of credence if it's continued to have legs this long. Because we know, and we're going to go into overtime. I think we got about 10 minutes of overtime. But if you look at some of the stuff in world history, take, for instance, and I'll throw the Japanese under the bus, and again, not trying to be a bigot when I say this, this is just basically history, is now that we have allied ourselves with the Japanese, and we are our close allies we are with the with that country, is that we don't mention, for every, you go on Netflix and you type in Holocaust, you get, you know, tons of documentaries, okay? But if you type in Japanese POW, you get two. Why is that? Because we as Americans, being close allied to the Japanese, we don't want to bring that to light. You know what I mean? We want to kind of get that to go away. And, you know, it's just, it's because the general populace doesn't want something to be heard. And if, as long as it has, then obviously it's got some legs.
Why do I hear you can't handle the truth? Which brings us to the government denial of UFOs all along. Or UAOs,
yep.
Now, unidentified aerial objects.
And you know,
right.
There's, like you said, you could go in so many different directions with the whole topic. I was going to say you could have a whole thesis or, you know, what have you, with the different causes, what the really conspiracy theories are made up for. And I know we kind of talked about it a bit earlier, but some of them I feel like they're just somebody, you know, either if they do or don't have an agenda, you know, they're, it's a, what are the two terms that I want to say? Not so much maybe I'm trying to think of like a defensive or a pro, you know, offensive type thing. In other words, somebody could be bringing up a conspiracy just to attack or to, and I'm kind of derailing here, sorry, but bringing on something just to get some people riled up. But then at the same time, and this is when you said UFOs made me think of it, think of all the conspiracy theories that are out there that are conspiracies, but it's really meant to be, it's something that's happened that we have no control over it, but perhaps they want it to remain a secret because people can't handle it. just like UFOs. Yes. Think of the movie Men in Black. You know, however many years ago, you knew that the world was flat. And up to just a few seconds ago, you knew that you were the only one on this universe, you know. And people as a whole, they can't handle that crap. So that is one of those that I would definitely go along with. I would say there's definitely some other existence out there. I'm not like a hardcore fanatic. I don't think about it all the time. I'm not obsessed with the idea, but, you know, I'm not against that idea. But I think that if there is, you know, Area 51 or what have you, I think I have that right. You know, all those, any of those different things that are talked about, I would definitely believe that. And I would believe that it's kept hush hush because people would not know how to handle that as a whole. I think it would be chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
And
we have people that'll choose not to believe things. God, I feel like I'm going to take a shot at religion here, and I'm not trying to. Much of religion is based on faith, belief.
Correct.
And I get it. And just for record, I believe. But sometimes you should not suspend your animation or your imagination because there's other things out there. Just trying to sort things you see. Again, I'll go to, like I referenced the owl the other night that was being crazy, and it was awesome. And just for the record, the way it took off and flew through the trees, the agility, mind-boggling. As big as that critter was. I've seen, I think what it was that threw me was a thrush in the backyard. It had puffed all its feathers out and all this stuff. And I was like, holy crap, do I got a quail in the backyard? You know, and I couldn't make out the head, to, you know, because I would have looked for the crest on the head, that kind of stuff. But the way the body was puffed and the colors and stuff, like, holy crap, I got a quail. And, you know, and I just stood there in rapt fascination until I sussed out that the bird was basically taking a dust bath and trying to figure out. And just for the record, it seems like it's been a really long time since anybody's been able to take a dust bath out here in this area, the amount of rain we had. All right, we're seriously dying on time here, team.
Yeah, we got about another 10 minutes worth of play, if I'm thinking right. Though, you know,
that's a big
10 minutes
with you, brother.
Yeah, 10 minutes worth of play is speaking radio time, not endurance time for three guys who have to be up in the morning, but. Yeah, I say we definitely need to carry this on because there's still stuff in the modern and not to throw politics into it at this late in the show, but take for instance the whole coronavirus thing. You know, the media doesn't talk about it because the media is trying to set a certain storyline. And I hate like hell that word narrative. That word narrative has gotten under my skin so much. But lest we forget that during the Obama administration, if you recall, they were having the outbreaks with the anthrax and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They were having a tough time when they were studying the stuff. They kept having breaches. Well, Obama outsourced it to China and put all the anthrax and smallpox and all that kind of stuff, the research, he outsourced it to Chinese labs, one of which was Wuhan. Fast forward the tape to a couple of years later, those unregulated chaps out there in China, and that's one of China's biggest problems, that there's no regulation out there at all. You can put whatever
except
you want to into the food.
Populace.
Correct. You can, yeah, it's pretty much a free-for-all over there. You can put chemicals into the food. You can put chemicals into the water. You can do whatever the hell you want over there because there's no regulation. And lo and behold, they did the same thing that we did over here. They let something loose. And unfortunately, we slid politics into a virus. So instead of saying, okay, hey, look, we have this virus out there. This is the X, Y, and Z of it. We went right off the bat with, it's Trump's bad. Trump doesn't care. Trump's just trying to kill people. Trump doesn't care about minority. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with the fact that a virus got loose. You know what I mean? But the popular writing, the press, the media, don't want to go back 6 years, 7 years, when the Obama administration took that responsibility and put it in the hands of irresponsible governments.
Oh, but again, so much more. We're really dying on time, dude. I hate to say it. We are really dying on time, and we are edging our – Yeah.
So, all that being said, I will go inside there and get ready to get the British lady to yell at us. But, yeah, we need to pick this up again next week. It was a damn good show tonight. Well done, gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging it.
I concur.
So let me ease on in here to Atwell Manor and get in front of the laptop here.
And just for those of us that are a little bit older, Buddy went to pick up a new vehicle, and he found out that you can't get a CD player in a new vehicle unless you make a kind of special order.
Wow.
God, I'm a fucking dinosaur.
I'm real old. Well, with all that being said, gentlemen, well done tonight. And I want to thank everybody for listening to us here on Pop Culture Stars. Especially in the extra innings.
Yeah, I got to please my usual closing. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Take care of one another. Be safe. Big hugs. That's Todd's bit.
God bless. See you all next week.
Right on. And thank you again for listening out here, Pop Culture Stars. Y'all take care. Talk to you next Wednesday night. Be here. British lady, give me the order.